How will inflation affect my kids?
Google products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
We say good morning to Scott Reed, CTV political analyst and former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin. Hope you had a great weekend, Scott.
I did, John. I did. I'm going to have an even better week. I'm taking off for the cottage for a couple days.
Okay, sounds good. Were you taking in any tennis or golf?
I didn't consume any golf this weekend, but watched the tennis and maybe even wagered on tennis and be reminded of the fact that I don't know very much about tennis. So
yeah, I never could have predicted the outcome on Saturday because I was watching and thinking, okay, both of these players, one of them will surge and then appear to flag, and then the other one all of a sudden will surge. But as it turns out, the winner that we got to watch at the semifinals, Simona Halep, went on to win the whole shebang. But let's start digging into the news. We'll start with the local story because I think it's important to put this into context. The people who do safety inspections are currently on strike. They have been since the 21st of July. And somebody thought about that and then went to the CNE and said, is this a problem for you guys? And the CNE said, we're going to be just fine. But it is convenient, I think, for a union that's on strike to have the optics of the CNE running, you know, the carnival aspect, the rides and the food and all of that stuff. And then for the union to say, and by the way, the official safety inspectors are on strike.
It adds, as they say, a little tension to the situation, a little tension on the negotiations, perhaps. So, I mean, obviously, I hope that they are able to come to an agreement soon. I'm not among those that are worried, and so let's just be clear about that. I'm not among those that might be worried about the CNE because it has the size, it has the scale, brings in its own inspectors, it has its own safety officers, all that sort of stuff. So I'm not anxious about what this means for the CNE. You might be a little bit anxious if you're like me. When I was a kid, we went from county fair to county fair to county fair when I was a kid because we used to draw horses. So you go to the horse pulling matches and, you know, you worry a little bit about those. But look, you know, this a sign of the times. When you have inflation this rampant and you're going to get wage inflation demands, you're going to get pressure in terms of contracts to raise out. So you're going to see more labor stoppages. You're going to see more ground down, eyeball to eyeball labor negotiations over the course of the next number of coming months. So don't be surprised if you see more of this.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in particular with public workers and, you know, we've already got the support workers in the education system. We've got teachers, nurses are very restless. So I think you're right that the future of labor negotiations, particularly in the public sector, is going to be pretty ugly. Salman Rushdie is said to be on the road to recovery. You're old enough to remember when the fatwa was issued back in 1989 because of his book, The Satanic Verses, and he lived almost in hiding for 9 years. And I guess he must have thought things were going to be okay. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, some 24-year-old runs up and stabs.
Well, this is what's so pernicious about it, right, is that I do think that he probably has lived for the last handful of years or, you know, 15 years or whatever it's been. He's probably lived in a circumstance where the official fatwa still exists, but it's unofficially withdrawn. So the notion that there is an organized effort to take him out, you know, is dissipated. And therefore, you would have a measure of security. But, you know, there always exists the risk that a lone nutter would go off, and that's exactly what's happened. And you know, and they say he's going to recover, but gosh, you know, he's 75 years old, stabbed 10 times, on a ventilator, may lose an eye. You add all those things up, you go, I don't know, man, this is not going to be a pleasant journey for him.
No. Adrienne Clarkson, I was just reading out a few of the paragraphs of the column that she published this weekend, and effectively it's a tribute to the whole notion of a national cenotaph, to the whole notion of an unknown soldier, but she also takes some swipes at the people who have tried to co-opt the national cenotaph in their case for quote-unquote freedom.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, I feel strongly that she's right. I feel very strongly that she's right. It angered me immensely when the convoy was dominating the streets of Ottawa. It was happening at the cenotaph. It angered me a lot when we saw the flags unfurled by some YouTube wanker a few weeks ago. I mean, my view is that it's a solemn place for memory, and it ought not to be used as a backdrop for, you know, political messages of any sort. It really irritates me, especially these clowns. I will add this, and I'm even when she's right, my God, Adrienne Clarkson is hard to take. You know, she instead of just making this point and writing this piece, no, she's got to quote herself at length. The entire column, for those who haven't seen it, is actually her just basically repeating a speech that she gave years ago. And as someone who's written countless speeches for politicians, I can tell you there's almost nothing less endearing than a politician who refers to their own speeches and then makes you sit and listen to them. So my own personal experience with her when she was governor general was, shall we say, wrapped in similar experiences.
Okay. It is funny because I had the same thought while I was reading it. I thought, okay, there are no quotation marks here, but I think this is the speech that she gave in whenever it was. It was like 2000 or something like that. But, I couldn't determine it. Incredible images, and we'll see if we can find a way to put this out on our social media platforms, but they're images of wildlife caught up in COVID masks. And I call masks sort of the new cigarette butts, because you can't go a city block without seeing one on the ground. But apparently they're also finding themselves in nature and strangling animals.
Yeah, and I guess this is going to be a byproduct of masking. People, so-called disposable masks, people treated them as though they were disposable. And, there were other manifestations of this that were less harmful, because we would all see them, as you say, littered on the streets like cigarette butts, and you would get irritated. And now, we are reminded that it's not just irritating. It interferes with wildlife and lots of other harmful effects. So, if you're wearing a mask to keep yourself well, great. Put it in your pocket when you're done with it, or put it in the trash, put it in the recycling bin. Just unbelievably annoying and selfish to just toss it on the ground. Who tosses stuff on the ground anymore? Like, what are you, a creature? Come on.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a matter of psychology, and without getting too Freudian about it, I suspect if somebody drops their mask, which probably happens quite frequently, all of a sudden it's disgusting. And so even they don't want to touch it, so they don't pick it up and actually make sure that it gets put away. Freya, the walrus, did they have to kill Freya, the walrus?
I know this is going to provoke all kinds of outrage online, and has provoked all sorts of outrage online. This walrus was, sort of trapped in domestic areas, kept hanging out in domestic areas, and people are getting too close, and they're worried about whether, the animal might attack somebody. The answer to your question is, did they have to kill her? Is I don't know. And 99.9% of the people cracking off don't know. We're not animal welfare experts. We know nothing about sea life and large sea mammals and what happens when they interact with nature. I know nothing about it, really. And so I have to assume and would hope that a bunch of experts got together and determined that this is the only option. You would like to think that before you snuff something out, that they've explored every other possibility, even those that require the expenditure of lots of resources. So I don't know the answer, but I am going to just trust that this is the only answer that was viable.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you this morning.
You too. Cheers.
That's Scott Reed, cottage bound, apparently. He is our political analyst and joins us on the Morning Brief on Mondays. Also a former advisor to a prime minister, Paul Martin.
How will inflation affect my kids?
What are the best road trips this summer?
What's the latest on the cost of living? Google helps you find the facts. Our products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/newsincanada.